This is WISO Weekend on WYSO. Up next, Soshi Talks is designed to enlighten the world with knowledge from primarily institutions of higher education in Southwest Ohio to coincide with Earth Day this weekend. Today, we'll hear from Bob Brekka of the University of Dayton Physics Department on why we need a renewable energy revolution.
Several years ago, I became increasingly interested in climate change and energy issues and began changing the focus of my own research to these areas. I've been working with UD students and faculty to investigate ways to determine the most promising energy efficiency measures that can be made to homes and small businesses. Another part of my research has been carried out in conjunction with scientists and economists at the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany, where I just spent the 2010-2011 academic year as a visiting scientist and Fulbright Fellow. I'm going to summarize here in very general terms some of the work in which I've been involved, and more generally, talk about why I'm convinced that we must embrace a revolution in energy over the next few decades, transforming the way we power our society to a more sustainable and efficient system based on renewable resources. My starting point is the reality of global climate change. I should just mention that this terminology is not a retreat, as claimed by some, but rather a decades-old characterization of what scientists expect will happen due to continued burning of fossil fuels. The basic outline of how our climate functions has been known for over a century and represents an application of basic physics and chemistry learned in first-year college courses. In addition to increasing global average temperature, which has been clearly observed for many decades, many other changes are taking place, such as rising sea levels and acidification of the oceans. These changes, thus far relatively small, are likely to be irreversible on the scale of many hundreds to thousands of years. One of the most worrisome features of these changes for many climate scientists is the rapidity with which they are occurring, compared to the customary slow pace of natural Earth changes. Temperature changes over the past couple of decades have happened at a rate many times faster than the changes that occurred as the Northern Hemisphere emerged from the last glacial period 10,000 years ago. Although it's not possible to define a perfect temperature for human societies to thrive, in various locations around the world, civilizations have developed under very constant conditions over the past several thousand years. It's rapid changes in these previously stable conditions that will be particularly disruptive. A prudent approach to being a steward of our planet, whether motivated by religious or spiritual or secular concerns, is to not risk the well-being of future generations and of the least well-off in the world. This is especially true as a guiding principle if our best scientific knowledge leads to a fairly clear understanding of the potentially harmful and irreversible consequences of our actions. In one sense, we're very lucky that our scientific understanding of Earth systems and climate has developed enough to warn us about effects that might come into play on longer timescales than we normally consider for societal decision-making. Climate change bears potential risks, and disproportionately so for those least able to adapt to changing climate conditions. It's remarkable to look at a map of the world and note that those countries most at risk from a changing climate are almost uniformly not those that have profited the most from using fossil fuels. Scientists look at how greenhouse gases are linked to eventual climate change. It's a good approximation to say that changes will occur based on the total amount of fossil fuel combustion, independent of when it occurs or how quickly it occurs. The amount of fossil fuels in the ground is much larger than the amount that can be used without causing disruptive climate change. Since the U.S. has committed to both working toward agreements to maintain global temperature changes below 2 degrees Celsius and to avoiding dangerous anthropogenic interference in the climate system, there's a need to dramatically reduce emissions within the next decade or two if we are to avoid the likelihood of the most negative consequences of climate change. Wealthy countries who have become so, mainly through the consumption of fossil fuels over the past century, must lead the way in implementing and improving upon existing low-carbon technologies and in improving the efficiency with which we use energy. World use of energy has increased so rapidly that of all the fossil fuels that have ever been consumed, roughly 75% of that has been in my lifetime. It's clear that energy is crucial, both in our industrialized societies and, perhaps as importantly, in those societies that need access to energy to increase their standard of living and rise out of poverty. But the key point is that we need access to energy, not necessarily to fossil fuel energy. There are some who fear the transition over the next several decades to a carbon-free economy. However, there are actually many pathways available for achieving this goal, as has been shown by economic and energy system modeling done by research groups around the world, including the one I've worked with in Potsdam, Germany. One constant factor, however, is the need to develop and integrate renewable energy technologies on a very large scale. We have abundant renewable resources, and renewable energy technologies are continually becoming cheaper, even though worldwide subsidies to fossil fuels still far outstrip those to renewables, according to the International Energy Agency. If the externalized costs of fossil fuels, those items paid for only indirectly by consumers, were factored in fully, the economic case for renewables would likely be easy to make even today. And there are already more jobs in the U.S. in the renewable energy industries than in the entire coal industry, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. This is not to say that a transition will be without effort. Many renewable resources have the disadvantage, for example, that they fluctuate in time. However, challenges of this type are exactly where our engineers and scientists will play a large role in developing storage capabilities and the smart electrical grid to complement the new energy technologies. As we move toward an energy system highly dependent on renewable resources, we have an opportunity to think in an integrated way about all sectors that use energy, from industries to households to transportation. Our current energy system arose in a haphazard, unplanned way as various fossil fuels and energy conversion technologies became available. The electric grid, although a marvel of engineering, is in dire need of modernization. Our internal combustion engines are basically the same, relatively inefficient devices our grandparents used, and our buildings are mostly remnants of a time when energy was cheap and seemingly endlessly plentiful. The opportunity of the generation represented by my students is to reimagine all of these systems in a coherent way, optimizing not only each element, but also the ways in which they interact with one another, and to do so in a way that will be sustainable for generations into the future. Imagine, for example, large amounts of renewable energy being at the heart of the energy system. At times of excess production, the renewable electricity can be used to charge electric vehicles or perhaps to create hydrogen and even methane or natural gas from water and carbon dioxide. These gases can be stored and transported using our existing pipeline infrastructure, then used in turn to generate electricity at times when there's a lack of renewable electricity. This version of an energy system turns the current model on its head. Renewables would now be the workhorse, and the more old-fashioned technologies would jump in when needed. Of course, we would also work to make sure that gas-fired electricity, for example, is generated as efficiently as possible with so-called combined cycle plants, and that the inevitable waste heat that is generated during the generation of electricity is also used for domestic hot water, district heating, and manufacturing processes. Having spent the year in Germany, it was fascinating to experience the enthusiasm with which energy issues were being discussed. An important question to ask is why this renewable energy revolution can be taking place in Germany and several other European countries, and has not yet taken off in the U.S., at least not with such a broad societal consensus. There is a curious reluctance to embrace these changes on a large scale by our society. Traditionally, we like to see ourselves as can-do people, but somewhere along the way we became bogged down in the attitude that we can't do it when it comes to energy, and we've allowed discussions about climate change to become political when understanding the Earth's climate is a question of dispassionate scientific research. The energy transformation that will happen sooner or later is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and challenge. We're facing the uncertain effects of climate change, suffering from high and unstable costs of fossil fuels that are becoming increasingly difficult to extract, and worried about national security, our dependence on foreign energy sources, need for new jobs, and large trade imbalances. It's a remarkable reality that all of these problems can be addressed, at least to some degree, by taking advantage of the opportunity now presented by renewable energy. Very seldom can we solve multiple problems with one set of actions. But exactly that is the promise of the future if we choose to take advantage of it.
Associate Talks, that's Bob Brekka of the University of Dayton. You can hear more conversations like this one online at SOCHE.org.